The Christmas Carol, O Holy Night, was used last week by the author, Justin Coleman, to help us focus on the hope that Christ brings to us. This week, in verse 3 of the same carol, we're going to focus on the love that Jesus brought. There's a line in the song that says, "Truly he taught us to love one another. His law is love, and his gospel is peace." This is the one thing that Jesus wanted more than anything else for his disciples, that they would love one another as he had loved them. He even predicted that his disciples would be known in their communities because of the love that they had for each other and the way that they lived their lives. I wonder if the church today would be described as a people whose greatest characteristic is love. John Wesley, the founder of Methodism, had three general rules for the Methodists to follow. Today, they're called the general rules of the church, and they cannot be changed. The first one for disciples of Jesus is to do all the good that you can. The second one, do no harm. And the third, attend to the spiritual disciplines, such as prayer, worship, fasting, serving, giving, observing baptism and Holy Communion, and witnessing for Christ. Have you ever thought about in your own life, how can I live and do no harm at all to anyone at any time in my life? When we do harm, it's called sin. And the scripture teaches that all of us sin. So therefore, we stand in need of God's love and mercy. None of us live perfect lives. But Wesley taught that we must strive toward perfection as disciples of Jesus. So what did he mean by that? That we should work as Christians toward growing in our faith, and especially in our love for God and our love for others, to a high level of maturity. As Christians, we seek to live more and more like Jesus. Jesus went about loving people, healing people, teaching them, preaching to them, and inviting them to grow in their relationship with God. In this book, Home for Christmas, Coleman suggests that we can take two different approaches in our witness for Christ. We can, and unfortunately have at times, considered ourselves better Christians than those other people who lead sinful lives. This over-under attitude does not help people to come closer to Christ. Also, sadly, many of us have been guilty of judging others as guilty of sin. And maybe we didn't even want them to come to our church because of their bad behavior. But this approach also turns people away from God. Jesus said, "Don't be so concerned about the speck in your neighbor's eye as the log that's in your own eye." In other words, what he meant was, don't be spending your time judging everybody else when you've got your own sin to deal with within. Another approach Coleman describes is, quote, to love the sin out of the world. I like that. To love sin out of the world. That's the major approach, in my opinion, that Jesus used. How can we love the person who commits violence? How can we love the thief? How can we love those who are strangers or beggars or who live totally different lifestyles from the way that we do as middle-class American citizens? To love others is to follow Jesus' greatest commandment. First, love God. Secondly, love others as you love yourself. These are not easy commandments. When people assume that following Jesus is easy, just sign up, be a church member, that's all there is to it, they're mistaken. Jesus said we must count the cost of discipleship, pick up our cross, and follow him. That means denying our own selfishness and considering the well-being of others as we consider the well-being for ourselves. Love requires doing good, showing kindness and mercy, and sometimes requires sacrifice on our part in doing God's will. In the second chapter of this book, Coleman tells a story of a man named Carl. He was a former gang member in Los Angeles who had been incarcerated, and also he had been wounded because of the violent lifestyle that he lived. He was paralyzed and forever would live the rest of his life in a wheelchair. He came to the Homeboy Industries ministry, and instead of rejection for who he had been, he found love and acceptance waiting for him at the door. He had never learned how to trust anybody, or even to love himself before. So as he became a part of this ministry and this community of faith, he began to learn what it means to love and to have compassion for others. He was amazed that this place brought, quote, people together who had been hating each other as opposing gang members. And instead of being lifelong enemies, they turned their lives into being a family in Christ. And he was amazed by that. He said, that's when I knew what love means, when I saw that happening at Homeboy Industries. These folks learned to love, to do good, to have jobs, to be responsible, productive people. Love is what changed their lives, not judgment or condemnation. Yes, many of them had to face consequences of breaking the law. They had to go to jail. But they didn't have to be condemned eternally from a loving God or a loving church that believes in redemption. The Apostle Paul wrote 1 Corinthians 13. Many of you have heard this chapter read at wedding ceremonies, but the original writing of this letter was to a church, a body of Christ. He describes love as being patient, bearing with people, doing no harm, enduring forever. Coleman suggests that we cannot expect people to change immediately. Sometimes change comes as a process. Transformation takes time. And for those of us who love others, we need to bear with them and show them understanding and patience. Remember when you were teaching your child to ride a bike? Did any of us learn on the very first try? That would be unusual. It took a lot of practice, falls, getting up, starting over, sometimes tears, and many times Band-Aids. As the Holy Spirit of God works to help people to change their lives into lives that resemble Jesus, it may take some time. It might take some falls. It might take a lot of practice at becoming a good Christian. But guess what? God is patient with us. So as a church, the children of God, how patient are we with others who may be struggling to change their lives? The passage I read in Philippians is a sweet love letter from Paul, who wrote to the Christians in Philippi. He was their first teacher of the gospel, and he fell in love with that faith community. They also loved him very much as well. The text that we read from the first chapter of Philippians, it is a great example of a pastor's love for the congregation and a congregation's love for their pastor. I have been blessed so many times to be loved by a congregation and treated well. And every time that I have to leave a church, I grieve terribly because this is my church family. These are my people. And I think that's the way that God intends for us to belong to one another. Paul describes the church in Philippi as partners in ministry with him. I love that description of the role of the church and the pastor. That we together are a team in doing God's work in our world. God calls us, as all of us as Christians, to be ministers of the gospel, servants of God laboring in the vineyard. Clergy are set apart to certain responsibilities of ministry, but the laity works side by side with the clergy to accomplish God's will on the earth. It takes all of us together, working, serving our beloved Lord. Paul talked about keeping the people in his heart as he prayed for them. As we look around at the people who are here this morning, and also thinking about those who are not here this morning, some that we know, some who are strangers we've never met before, how often do we hold them in our hearts as we pray? If we're having a difficult time getting along with someone in our faith community, do we turn to God in prayer for them and for our own attitude? How often do we pray for our church? Paul prays that this congregation's love would become more and more rich with knowledge and all kinds of insight, understanding. He also prayed they would be filled with the fruit of righteousness. What a beautiful prayer. What if we were all praying that same prayer for each other? Also for the United Methodist Church and for the Universal Church of Jesus Christ around the world. Suppose that we made a list this morning of all the reasons that we are thankful for our church family. And then on the other side of the page, we made a list of specific things that we could pray for our church. And then we could follow the third general rule, attend to the spiritual disciplines by actually praying about all of these things on our list on a regular basis. The word compassion means to suffer with others. Jesus was described so many times in the Gospels as having compassion for the people. Coleman proclaims that, quote, compassion for people can be the spark that gets the fire of transforming love going, unquote. He teaches that transforming love includes steadfastness, kindness, and mercy. It means sticking with each other, holding each other until we are whole. It means never giving up on ourselves or one another. The former gang member, Carl, is bound in a wheelchair because of the consequences of bad choices that he made earlier in his life. But he is totally free now to love others. Nothing can keep him from love, receiving it and sharing it. He is free to love in a way that he never even knew was possible before he found redemption. One of the most famous stories in the Bible, besides the parable of the Good Samaritan, is the parable of the prodigal son. Many biblical scholars have suggested it should be renamed as the parable of the loving father. It's a story about all of us, about sin, mistakes, poor choices, their consequences, and the opportunity for repentance, for changing our lives, for forgiveness, for reconciliation. It's mostly a story about love. None of us are perfect. We all fall down. We get up. We try again. We need God's mercy. We need God's unconditional love. God has shown us patience and continues to do so when we mess up. This is what Jesus desires for the church, for us to show mercy, to do kindness, and to walk with God in such a way that we welcome others to know the transforming love of Jesus as well as we know it and receive it. The church is made up of people who belong to Jesus, who receive the love of God, and who want to share that love to the ends of the earth. So the next time you're tempted to judge someone, think about all the many things they've gone through. What has led them to this life that they're living of destruction or violence? Or begging on the corner. They've been through some stuff. And we should never condone evil. I'm not saying that. But if we want to redeem people, then we need to share love, not judgment, not condemnation. This beautiful song that reminds us of God. Truly, he taught us to love one another. His law is love, and his gospel is peace. Amen.